That's right. Can we do something real quick? Can we just give a clap to Jesus this morning for everything he's doing in this place today? Like I said earlier, my name is Jesus, and I am so glad you guys are with us today. Me and my wife get the honor to be the lead pastors here at Vintage, and today is a very special day because today Vintage Church turns 2 years old, and so we're two today. Like I've been saying, we're a baby that's been crawling to now we're waddling around, and we're touching and getting into messes, and we're trying to figure stuff out, but hey, we're on our way, and it's awesome, and we're excited that you guys are with us today. First, I want to do something real quick. I want to thank my wife, Audra. Without Audra, this room wouldn't exist. And if any of you have had the honor to meet her, you would know this room would not exist without her. And you would know that her heart for this house and her passion for this house and the hard work she puts into this is very special. And I just want to thank my wife for everything she does. Oh, man, I'm not supposed to cry at the beginning of a message. I also want to give it up for our dream team. There's something special when God crosses the path of people that just a few years ago didn't exist. Some of the people in this room, actually everybody in this room, if you were to think about it, you probably didn't have a relationship with each other just a few years ago. And our dream team gets here. They actually spent half of their day yesterday trying to set this place up and work out some kinks and work out some details for today. And then this morning, they're here early, and we're setting up lights, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and the praise team is practicing, and the kids team is prepping, and you know what? It is a beautiful thing when God calls people together for purpose. And let me tell you, I would not be here without that dream team. So if you guys could, do me a favor and give it up for the dream team. So excited for this next year. My heart today is to just give you a glimpse of Vintage, but also thread some vision throughout this message. I also believe that we have to center on Jesus today, and so that's what we're going to do. Everything we do is about Jesus, and so I want to make sure we recenter on that today. But one of the things that God has kind of placed in my heart is when you think about vision and you think about church and you think about a lot of different things, one of the things that's very important for me, especially because of the world I live in most of the time, is in the architecture world. Most of you guys know I have, our entire team is a bivocational team. We don't have any paid staff on our team, and so we all have regular jobs, and we all work, and we all pull things together to make things happen. And on my job, I'm a project architect or project manager, and I help design buildings and keep them on schedule and things like that. And here's the interesting thing, is it's a very simple job for me after I've been doing it for a long time. And really the clarity of my job is to see something way before somebody else sees it and then design it. Design it, present it, and then build it, right? Same thing kind of happens in the spiritual world and what we're trying to do with Vintage. God made it very clear Southeast Austin is a clean slate. The only difference is I'm not coming up with the ideas. God's coming up with the ideas. He comes in and says, all I need you to do is be a conduit for the idea. And one of the things that he's done is he said, why don't you go take Blazer Elementary School and why don't you make that home base and why don't you launch a church out of that space? Why don't you make Sunday something that wasn't there? And that's what we've been trying to do on Sunday mornings, and it's been fantastic. And this is the thing, you and I get to participate in the big idea that God has. And like the end of that video just said, there's a very simple statement, God loves you. Do you know how many people in this community do not know that they are loved by God? Do you know how many people, maybe even in our own families, that do not know they are loved by God? And so our simple statement, one of the things that we talk about all the time, is really our heart and our purpose, and it's this. We exist to love everyone towards a growing relationship with Christ. Simple. We exist to love everyone, and everyone means everyone, towards a growing relationship with Christ. So we try to measure two things all the time. How well are we loving, and are we helping people grow? And so as we grow, we want to help other people grow. So let me give you a snapshot of some things that meant a lot to me this past year. And let me start off with this statement, because this was the first stat that was given to me when I moved to Austin. 87% of church plants will fail before they make it to year two. 87%. First round table I sat in with some pastors. We sat down at a round table, and a pastor, there's about 20 of us there. A guy gets up, writes this big number, 87, on a board. And the next day, and this is my first experience in Austin. And he says, 87%. And he says, how many of you guys are church planters? And there was about 11 of us in there, I think. So we all raised our hand. He said, keep your hand up. And he said, you. Stats say your church will not exist in 2 years. Today, we beat that stat. Right? Just with that, just with the odds of church planting, we've already beat that. How amazing is that? Let me tell you this. In the first year that we kind of measured people coming to faith, our first year, we had about 14 people come and make decisions for Jesus our first year. In the last 3 weeks, we've had 14 people make decisions for Jesus, right? You see, when something starts to grow in the direction that God wants it to grow, things just start to happen, you know? I want to highlight Tiffany. She was up here doing worship. Tiffany, oh, my shoe's untied. Sorry. Because everybody knows I will trip and fall. Usually my wife checks on me like this kind of stuff, but she didn't today. Okay, so Tiffany, she was up here doing worship well over a year ago, and give it up for Tiffany. She did a great job in worship. Let me highlight something with Tiffany. Tiffany came to our church as a guest one day, eventually got into a life group and became friends with us, quickly moves from friendship to family, and then all of a sudden today she's leading us in worship towards a greater relationship with Jesus. We have to move in the direction of growth. You see, because God knew the day she walked into this place that one day she would be standing here glorifying him. So the question becomes, in our church world and in our lives, what is God asking you to do? What is he going to push you to do a year from now? Can you imagine? You see, that's the beauty about church. Sometimes we get to see people come alive and get to see people come to faith and come make decisions and start changing the world, right? How amazing is that? One of the other great things that I'm super pumped about, most of you guys know that me and Audra, before we became lead pastors and on staff at another church, we were youth pastors for 6 years. One of the great things that we launched just a few months back was Vintage Students here at Vintage, right? How amazing is that? This year, we've had the ability to impact over 50 foster families through our community engagement. 50 foster families impacting those kids who don't have parents. We participated in Blazer Elementary School Spring Carnival. We were the ones out there in the field hanging out with all of the people in the community representing Blazer Elementary. And what a great opportunity, because let me tell you, AISD makes it very clear when you rent this space and you rent this church that you cannot participate. It's one of those kind of, I don't even need to go there. You know where I'm going with it. And God opened the door for us to participate, and there was no problems with it. How amazing is that? We've been able to give $2,135 to church planting alone, just helping other churches. I don't know what the final number is. I know our accountants are bringing this number in now, but it's well over $3,000 that we've given just to community engagement and just helping people in the community. Did you see the neighborhood around here? Do you see how fast it's growing? If you got stuck in the traffic, right, and having to loop around and find your way over here, you can tell this community is growing, and God's placed us right in the middle of it. How beautiful is that, by the Lord being able to strategically place us, right? We've been able to do serve days here at this school. If you walk in the men's or the boys' restroom and the girls' restrooms today, and you see some of the artwork that's on the walls, we've had the opportunity to do that. The blue tables you guys are going to sit at after service, we got to purchase those for this school. There's so many things, so many things. But here's the reality of all of it. The reality of all of this is each and every one of us are called to it. Each and every one of us have a gift to be able to input into this community. And one of the things, like I said, and when we talk about our mission statement and we talk about growing towards Christ, one of the things we try to understand is that every day of our life, we're either becoming less like Christ on a spectrum or becoming more like Christ. So we want to help each other move forward. And so one of the ways that we do that has been in this Vintage Value series. And today kind of ends that series, and I'm not going to really get into the last one, the Live to Give, but over the last 4 weeks, we've touched on all of these. And our first value to keep us on our purpose was to we're set free to be, which means we live in freedom by knowing who we are in Christ. That's the first value that we have. Number two is strive to thrive, which means we passionately pursue our relationship with God. And number three is better together, which means we are known, loved, and challenged through authentic relationships, right? And then last week, I talked about love on purpose, how we use what God has been giving us to love and reach other people. And I used one of the quick statements that hopefully there's nobody in your life that is searching for an I love you, right? We're the ones that go and make that initiative to give that. And then today is technically around live to give. And really what this one comes down to is that we're a good steward of what God gives us. We bless others by the stewardship, by what he's giving us. And so as I was prepping for this message, God kind of put through an audible. It's 2 weeks in a row. He kind of threw an audible. And I'm going to make a little bit of a shift this morning. And what I want each and every one of you to understand this morning is to make the adjustment to understand exactly what God's heart is for this house and for you and for your family. And we're going to use Jesus as the example. And that comes out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 36. And it says this, Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, right? The gospel, the God that we serve is always about good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. We serve a God who heals. We serve a God who sees you right where you're at. And I love this next statement. And this is where we come from and use Jesus as the example. It says, when he saw the crowds, when he looked at the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion. He saw them and he had compassion. And he says this, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And if you think about it and you think about your life, Jesus sets the example for us. So number one, we should always walk in every room and in every environment with the eyes of compassion. The other thing is maybe you're in the room today and maybe you feel like the bottom half of this statement, harassed and helpless. Some of you have probably been in a place where you felt helpless. Let me tell you, Jesus has compassion. Jesus sees you right where you are, and he won't leave you where you're at. Just like that song says, his love is too good, too great, too big to leave us where we're at. And so when we look at this, we say, okay, God, help us to be a church that has compassion. Help us to be a group of people that has compassion. Everywhere we go, let us lead that way. But here's the reality in our culture today, especially in a city like Austin. It says this in the very next verse. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There's enough work to do. He says, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord. Another translation says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. You see, the workers are few. And what we mean by that isn't that there isn't, the workers are few in the aspect that there's a lot of people even sitting in our churches that have the ability to make a difference, and they just don't know it. There's a lot of people in the room, even right here, that you have a major call of God on your life. Let me tell you something. It's not just the people on stage that have a call. It's each and every one of you that have a call in your life. And what happens is sometimes we think, well, look, I'm going to go back a couple verses because I'm the harassed. I'm going to go back a couple verses because I'm helpless. And God can't use me if I'm in that state. Let me tell you, he can and he will. And he will use you to change people's lives. I love when we look at Jesus and he has compassion. And when we look at this picture of Jesus and we see what he's capable of and we see that he's healing people and reaching people, he makes it very clear that he's going to do something about it. And so when he says the harvest is plentiful, the next thing that comes to us as Vintage is the bottom line is that there is a harvest for us. There is a harvest. There's a harvest in your family. There's people in your family that need faith. There's people in your family that need to go from helpless to having hope. They're everywhere in our lives, right? So the harvest for us is real important because it's always about people. One of the things that we're launching here in the next few weeks is life groups. Let me tell you something. We're not launching life groups just to launch life groups. We're launching life groups because we are called, part of the harvest is we are called to restore community, in authentic community in our city, because we don't have it anymore. We don't have authentic community anymore. We're too busy. Where authentic community is Facebook scrolling up and scrolling down and swiping left and swiping right, and that we, for some reason, think that that's community. That's not community. Community is sitting with somebody who loves you. Community is sitting with somebody who knows you, but then is also sitting with you that can challenge you. And sometimes we skip out when the challenge part comes. But let me tell you, you can only grow when you're challenged. That's the only place that you can grow. So the harvest for us is plentiful. When we think about community engagement, which is something else we do here, think about this school. They're building a brand new overflow school right next door. Right next door is a brand new overflow school because this school is overpopulated with too many kids and too many families. This is a home base for us to be able to reach this community. The harvest is plentiful. You think about Community First Village, which is our initiative to help homelessness out in East Austin. They're getting ready to do another 22 acres full of new tiny homes and homes for the homeless. The harvest is plentiful. When you think about Foster Village and Austin Angels, which is the foster care organizations that we support, there is more kids in the foster system than there is in foster homes. Like, there's so much work to do, right? And when we think about our lives and we think about what's happening, even us launching Vintage Students, 4 miles up the road is one of the most overpopulated high schools at Aikens High School. So many kids there. 2.3 miles this direction is Wayside High School, brand new high school. The harvest is plentiful. There's plenty for us to be able to do, but the workers are few. The workers are few. And sometimes we think we have to have it all together to get to work. Let me tell you, you don't. All you got to do is trust in the name of Jesus, and he will do the rest. So how do we do it? I think it comes from a place of posture first. How do we do it? One of our favorite scriptures that me and Audra hold to, especially when we moved to Austin, was this one. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. What a beautiful picture. He takes the lonely and he sets them into family. And it says, he leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And I love that statement because that's something that we hold on to, because when we moved to Austin, we were lonely, and God gave us a family. He placed us in a family. The verse right before that is Psalm 68, 5, which says, he's a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. So what I want to do is I want to talk about that for a second. Because here's what I believe Vintage needs to be to our community. We have to be a home. We have to be a safe place. And so I want to talk through a few things real quick before we get to all the fun. I want to talk through a few things real quick. And so I've got some stuff in this box. I want to talk about this coffee cup for a second. Coffee in my house, all this stuff is from my house. And I love coffee. I became a coffee snob when I moved to Austin. And it's really bad. It's really, really bad. I don't even like Starbucks. And coffee in my house means a few things. And one of the things it means in my house is quiet. One of the things it means in my house is slow down. Sometimes it can mean prayer. Sometimes it can mean Bible study. Sometimes it can mean celebrate. Whatever this coffee cup represents is what I want Vintage to become. I want us to have a place that people can slow down, where our lives are running 100 miles an hour and we could walk into this place and just slow down for a second. Because some of you have already lost today because you're worried about Tuesday. You and I have to slow down. Focus in on God's word. That's what I want Sunday to look like. That's why we come in here and we pause. That's why there's coffee in the back. That's why we come in here to celebrate. We open with worship. We teach the word. We encourage you, and we want you to leave here refreshed. Sunday isn't the end all. It's the beginning, okay? Another thing, I'll pull out of this bag here, is an apron. So here's my apron for today, all right? If you're familiar with Los Pollos Hermanos, I got this apron, and this apron symbolizes cooking, right? And it's on today. Chris, everybody knows I love tortillas. And what what these represent is, here you go. Have it right there. Oh, who wants one? Who wants one? There you go. No, it's okay. Oh, there you go, Travis. It's not gluten-free, Travis. It's not vegan. These tortillas represent cooking. They represent food, right? Who, am I missing somebody? I got a dozen right here. I got you. Oh, Tay? Let's see if I can get Tay back there. Oh, look at that. Oh! That's right. That's how we roll. Make it rain. That's right. Make it rain tortillas in this place. You see, this means sitting down at a table, eating. This represents us cooking food. Did you know the highest form of fellowship in the Bible is people breaking bread together? Did you know the place that Jesus spent the most time making an impact in his disciples was around a table? Some of the most profound things that he spoke to his disciples was around a table. These represent life groups for us. You got to have community. You got to be able to sit with people. And you got to be able to be yourself and not be afraid of it. You see, if Vintage is going to make an impact in this community, it's got to be a home. It's got to have a place to eat. There's a place at the table. Let me tell you something, because some of you guys don't believe this. There's a place at the table for each and every one of you. And you have to believe that in this place today, okay? I kind of want to keep wearing this thing, but my wife is already giving me dirty looks. I'll take this for an example. This is a giant N. This hangs in my son's room because his name is Nehemiah. This hangs in his room, and you know what this represents? This represents that every time he walks into his room, he, one, knows his name. One, he remembers the house in which he lives in. One, he has his own space. He has his own place. It's his safe place. It's where he can be himself. If Vintage is going to be a home, you and I have to have a place that you and I can know each other's name and not be afraid. Some of us don't even feel like we have a place in the house. If Vintage is going to be a home, everyone deserves a place in the house, right? I'm not throwing my wallet, so don't ask me to. So here's my wallet and my keys. My wallet represents a few different things, and so do my keys. Places I need to go and money I need to spend. But in the house of God, you know what this represents? This represents generosity that's going to change people's life. You know what this means? I'm willing to go out of my way to help other people. So if you and I are going to be a place and we're going to be people that can make a difference in our community, be generous and don't be afraid to go out of your way. Are you with me? Last but not least, if Vintage is going to be a home, this is Draggy. Her name is Draggy. Okay? And I have to protect her. This is my daughter Isabella's Draggy. This she's had since how long? Since she was 2 years old. And she's held on to this thing since, and she just turned 10. And this represents for her comfort. It represents for her safety. When she goes to sleep at night, she's got to hold on to this. If we're going to be a house, a home to bless this community, we have to create spaces where people can feel comfortable and they can have hope. You see, when Bella gets scared, she grabs a hold of this. When you get scared, you got to have people you can grab a hold of. You got to find a place that you can come in and you can just give it up on a Sunday. You can literally come in and just be like, I'm done, and not be afraid. And let God comfort you. Let this place be a home that gives you the ability to do what God is asking you to do. So I'm going to close with this today. I'm already running out of time, and Frank's going to text me while I'm up here. I'm going to switch to a picture. I don't have the time to go into the rest of kind of what's going on, because we do want to celebrate today. Everyone is very familiar with the story of the prodigal son. Everyone's very familiar with the story of this young man leaving his father's house and finding himself struggling, finding himself squandering everything his father had given him, and finding himself in a desperate place. And I love in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, it says, so he got up and went to his father. Okay, so here's something important. You and I have a step to take in this, okay? No matter where you're at, all you have to do is make the initiative to step toward your father, and look what the father does. This is Jesus telling this story. This is what makes it powerful. He says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with what? Compassion for him. And I love this. Oh, I love this picture. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Next slide. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And oftentimes, can't tell you how many times I have said this to the Lord. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. And you know what's one of the things I love about this story is that the father went and put a new ring on his finger. And if you want to know a little, just a tad bit, then this isn't a teaching message. We'll have another day for this teaching message behind this. He puts a ring on his finger. A ring in that time was transactional, which means when you would go places, you would have the seal of your father's house on your ring. So if you went somewhere and you had to pay for something, you would seal it with that ring. And that's how, it was almost like a credit card today. And what the beauty part about this father is he reinstates his authority. He reinstates the fact, you're my son, and he puts something on his finger to say, look, nothing else matters anymore. Not the past, nothing. I've given you the new name. I've given you the ability. You're still my son. And too many times we come into church and we come into places and we don't know who we are. Vintage will be a place that people know they are sons and daughters to the Lord. I got to experience this. And when you think about this vertically, each and every one of you, including myself, have received a name from the Lord. And it does start with son, and it does start with daughter first. You see, but this week on Friday, I got to experience something really special. I want to show you a picture real quick. This is a picture I took in the courtroom on Friday. This was Friday afternoon. And this is the Blake family. And this is John and Rachel Blake. And the two little kids in the picture, if you go to the next picture, is Landon and Avery. Landon and Avery were foster kids that ended up with Rachel and John. And on Friday, Audra and I and our kids got to go to the courthouse, and the judge made it official that Landon and Avery are no longer their old name. They are now Landon and Avery Blake. And he, with his gavel, hits it down and makes it official. They are now the Blake family. You see, God takes the lonely and he places them into family. He took these two precious kids and he put them with parents who will love them and care for them, and he gave them a new name. And this is the thing, that's what God does for us. He does the very same thing for us. Those kids got to wake up on Saturday morning with a brand new name, right? Think about how they're going to live their life. Think about how they will live moving forward. You see, we met the Blakes through Austin Angels, one of the nonprofits that we serve. Your giving impacted their life because we got to do a love box and give it to that family every month to show them how much they are loved. So each and every one of you are equally a part of sitting in that courtroom with us on Friday night, seeing these two kids become family. God wants you to do the same thing. You have family members in your life that God wants to bring into the family of God, the house of God. And I'm going to read this last quote as we move into just a time of worship. It says how terrible it is for someone to go through life without a home. A home can mean so many things to us. It's a place of both refuge and nurture. It is where we go after a very tiring day. It is a place of comfort when the world knocks us down. It's an oasis where worn out spirits are healed and rejuvenated. It is a place of learning where we are taught how to deal with life's challenges. Vintage will be a home. Vintage will be a place that happens, that you can be rejuvenated and you can find hope and you can find healing. But at the end of it, you find your Father, you find Jesus. So what I want us to be able to do as we close, before we throw a party and everybody goes and celebrates and we have food trucks and inflatables and all that, I think it's only appropriate that we posture and we take the step, just like the prodigal. Maybe you've turned around this week, and maybe this week you just need to take that step towards God. Let me tell you, the second you take the step, He's going to run towards you. And the song that we're going to worship together is called "I'll See a Victory." We're going to proclaim that. We're going to do that together, and that we'll see the victory in our life. Each and every one of you in this room deserves, let me tell you something, each and every one of you deserve to be in a home, to have a father, to have hope. And so if you would stand with me, I'm going to pray for us. With every head bowed, eyes closed, we don't do this for religious purposes. We ask you to do it just because we're people of distraction, and so we want to not be distracted. But Jesus, we come before you right now, and Lord, we take those steps towards you. We ask you right now to do what only you can do in this place. Jesus, that you would be the anchor to who we are today. God, that our lives slow down just enough in this house to be able to slow down to realize that you're running towards us. So I pray for that person in this room right now. God, that maybe they feel like they've been far from home. Maybe they've been dealing with loneliness or stress or worry or angst. Or maybe they feel helpless. And there is one person, one moment that can turn a helpless person into a hopeful person, and that's the name of Jesus. So I pray right now for that individual, for that person maybe struggling with that right now, and I pray, Lord, that they would make the commitment right now to just take a step towards you, to take a step, to open their heart and say, Jesus, my life is your life, and right now, that's my focus, Jesus, is to give my life to you, to serve you, to love you, to lead my life the way that you'd want me to plant myself in a home, to help others. I pray right now, if that's you in this room, would you just put your hand up real quick and put your hand back down? I see you. Jesus sees you. Lord, I pray right now, as we worship you, everyone in this room would experience your presence, they would experience your joy, and they would experience your hope as we, with our mouths, declare the name of Jesus in this room. So right now, Holy Spirit, we ask to come into this space. Every person who made a decision, God will make that step. And Jesus, you're going to run to us, and you're going to embrace us, and you're going to give us that new ring, and we're going to walk in the authority that you've given us. So right now, in Jesus' name, lead us.